That time of worship. It's so good. So good to be here. Just loving Jesus, loving each other. I'm excited about what's happening. I tell you what, good things are on the horizon. We finally got Hugh Owens back from all of his adventures in the hospital. Good to have you, Hugh. Have our friends from Michigan. So glad y'all could be here and searching for a church home. Just God bless you. These guys learning to hit that machine and do those bongos. Well, that's neat. God is doing some very neat things. And I am so happy to be a part of that. When you experience and when you see what God is up to and then He allows you to be a part of it, man, that'll just blow your mind. And we're discovering things such as we did our spiritual gifts last weekend. And many of you discovered some things for the first time. You had that wow moment that God is at work inside of you in that capacity. So neat. Coming up on 40 days. 40 days of community. This is not a commercial. This is the real thing. 40 days of community. At the end of the service, we're going to give you, for the next 2 weeks, the opportunities to sign up for a different small group experience. For 40 days. We've got 6 different groups that are over here that you will be able to be a part of, and we want you, the ranges from all of our deacons and past deacons and Brother Michael, so each one of them will have a group that you can be a part of. And what we'd like you to do at the end of the service is to go by, sign up for a group, and then you're going to get a study guide. And inside of this study guide, that's what you'll be using for those 40 days. And you'll be having, it'll be a DV driven. And during that period of time, each one of the mission group, each one of the small groups are going to perform a mission project. And so you as a group will be selecting that. Then you're also going to receive a journal. And inside of this journal for 40 days, this will give you in your small group time, it'll give you that opportunity to spend time with the Lord, and you'll be knowing this, that all your brothers and sisters in Christ are going to be reading and studying the same material, same scriptures, and you'll be responding in your daily journal for 40 days. So I want to encourage everybody, if you're a member, visitor, just anyone that God puts it on your heart, we want you to be a part of the small group experience and the great mission. There's going to be 6 mission activities that's going to occur over the next, or during that period of 40 days. So each one of you, let me strongly encourage you to take and be a part of that. Because what you're going to do in discovering being a part of that is some very special opportunities. And in these special opportunities, we're going to see what God is up to, and we're going to be looking at some things that I think God is really going to show us. One of the most amazing stories that have ever been told is the story about how God, Creator, about 6,000 years ago, spoke things into existence. And all of a sudden this world became so magnificent, beautiful. And then you get some of these telescopes and you can see way out into the galaxies and see how big this thing really is that God spoke it into existence in just 6 days. 2,000 years after that, though, he called this guy named Abraham. And Abraham became what is commonly known as the father of faith. And he began to lay a path. And you begin to see God at work during this period of time. Now, following those 2,000 years, then 2,000 years later, all of a sudden God says, the time's right, guys. And he came and he walked here on planet Earth. And he walked around for 33 years. For 3 years, he became a public figure. And he shared with us the plan of salvation. Following that, 2,000 years later, he's given us the opportunity to lead people to Jesus Christ and to grow and be a part of that. But wouldn't it be, we were talking in our Sunday school class about the millennium this morning, and it's going to be so neat that one day God, Jesus Christ, is going to sit up there in Jerusalem. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Wouldn't that be neat? asked one of the guys, I said, now, if you knew Jesus was over in Jerusalem right now, wouldn't you want to buy a plane ticket and fly over there? And he said, well, I got a boat. Okay, so he's going to make it there. He's going to make it. But you know, something almost stranger than this was God about 4,000 years ago said, I want you to build me a tabernacle. I want you to build me a tent. And he said, I'll dwell there among you. Can you imagine that? Here, God said, the creator of the universe said, I'll dwell there. I'll be in the midst of the camp. Now, that's where we're headed. It's going to take us a little while to get there. But we're going to go in and we're going to experience His presence in there. But several questions are going to have to come up to us today. First of all, how can we know that God is here? How do you know that God is here this morning? Now, if God's not here, you ought not be here either. Okay? If God's not here, go find a church where He is. But if God is here, and I believe that He is, how do you know it? How do you know that He's so real right here? Because God is going to dwell where there's passionate love. God is going to dwell where there's first love. God is going to dwell where there's agape love. God is going to dwell where there's genuine love. And if there's that genuine love here, then yeah, He's here. How do we know that? 1 John 4, 7 through 11. I'm going to be passing a lot of Scripture with you. But 1 John 4, 7 through 11 said, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves God is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this we love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Is God here? Is God here? Do we love one another? If God so loved us that much, can you turn and look at that person next to you and say, man, in the name of Jesus, I love you. Now, when you look at some of them in here, it's a little bit hard. It's easier for others. But God's going to say, I love you. Hey, the passionate love. Is it that real? Is it that strong? Well, what's the characteristic? What's that characteristic? What is the greatest love? What's the characteristic of that love so that you understand it? Because the fact is, without love, we're dead. Now think about it. Without love, we're just dead in the water. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become like a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, And now abideth faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Without love, you're what? You're nothing. Folks, if the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not an expression of God, an expression of God's love, then we are nothing. We can come together and we can sing. We can come together and we can read. We can feed the poor. But if we don't have passionate love, Jesus says, that's not the place for me. During these 40 days of community, we're going to be studying the characteristics of love in 1 Corinthians. We want you to understand that, be a part of that, because Christ's love is going to be made manifest, and you're going to see that, you're going to understand that, you're going to feel that. But we need 40 days in which we can get together and say, God, we want this kind of love. Because how serious is that? How serious is genuine love in the church? The Holy Spirit will leave any church where true love is not found. Oh, no, you got to be kidding me. You mean there could be a lot of churches today in where Jesus is not even there inside there? Absolutely fact. Can that happen right here? Yes, it can. How do you know that? Well, Revelation 2, 4, and 5 says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love." You have left it. Passionate. First. Honeymoon. Soul winning. God first. God only. Listen, folks. We can go through the motions, but if we haven't got the love, this is what's going to happen. The glory's going to leave. We got to have that love. And if we don't, and if you're one that's in this church that doesn't have that passionate type of love, he says do three things. Number one, he says remember. You remember? Hey, let me ask you a question. This is kind of personal. Can you remember your first kiss? Now, it might not have been with your wife, okay? Oh, excuse me. But anyhow, can you remember? Well, can you remember that? Oh, wow. Sparklers. Now, I'm not talking about when I kissed my mama. That was my first kiss. But I'm talking about explosive. Wow, man, look at this. Listen, folks. When we fell in love with Jesus Christ, it was explosive. It was wow. Man, Jesus, passionate. I want to live for you. Listen, if you don't have that this morning, remember. Secondly, repent. Say, God, I don't have that. I'm just being honest with you, God. I don't have that. Remember when I had it? Now I don't. But then he says, think about it. Change your mind. Change your heart. And then he says, do it. I love this part right here. Just do it. You see, love is an action. Love is not something you just talk about. Love is something that you do. And so inside of this, that's what the seriousness is. So we're gonna see that God is serious about this love. Now, what does love look like? Here, love removes self-improvement for a friend's advancement. What? You mean, if I'm going to have this kind of love, then somebody else's family is going to be in front of my family? Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Where do you get that from? Here we go. John 15, 12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater loveth no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends." Got it? How far are you willing to go? What are you willing to do? Will you lay down your life for your friends? That's what God is saying to us. Focus on it. It's this kind of love. It's removing. It's applying. And God is looking for men and women who will put others on the agenda rather than themselves. Listen, folks. I love my family too. Folks, we got to recognize there's other people who need you. There's other people who need your time. Other people who need you. And so therefore, as we begin to look at this, you might say, well, who is my neighbor? Oh, Benny, do you know who your neighbor is? Yeah. He's got it down pat. His neighbor's first name was Good. And his neighbor's last name was Samaritan. Okay, so his neighbor was the Good Samaritan. And this was this guy that one day he went out on this trip, and some guys came on, some hoodlums came on and beat this guy up and just left him half dead on the side of the road. And the Baptist preacher came down and looked at him and said, boy, you're in bad shape. Went on down the road. Man, a lawyer, a Mr. Goody Two-Shoes lawyer came by and said, boy, you in trouble, aren't you? And he went on down the road. But then all of a sudden, this guy from across the track that nobody gave him the time of day looked over and said, man, you in help. And he went over there and he helped him. And he did it. And he took him to a place where he could find some safety and comfort and regenerate and build back up. And he said, look, I'm not only going to take you there, but I'm going to pick up the bill. He spent his time. He spent his money. He spent his love. And who was that? It was his neighbor. It was his neighbor. So y'all know who your neighbor is. It's the person that's in need. That's your neighbor. Did you know him? Maybe not. Did he still have a need? Yes, he did. Are you supposed to love and care and share and give of yourself even before your own advances? Yes. All of a sudden, this is what love looks like. Now, what's a perfect example of that? A perfect example is love works toward giving life. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Love is giving life. Whoa, that's the reason Jesus came here, to give life. We're going to be having 3 block parties this year. One in the zone right out back. One in the project down in Columbus. One over in another neighborhood, over at Brother Michael's in that neighborhood. But you know why we're going to have a block party? We're going to have a block party to share Jesus Christ. We're going to have a block party to give, not expecting anything in return. Nothing except that God be glorified. We're going to give of ourselves, our time, of our energy, so that people might come to know Jesus Christ, because that's of the spirit of love. Now, when we realize this, it's going to take a lot to make these things happen. So how do people know we're Christians? I mean, how do people really and truly know that you are a Christian? Let me give you 3 marks of a discipleship. 3 marks of a discipleship is this. Number 1, be something. And that is, people who practice the Word of God in their lives will be known. John 8:31 says, "If you abide in Me and My Word abide in you, you are My disciples indeed." James 1:22 says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." In other words, actions speak louder than words, but you also got to speak. You got to have both. So therefore, how are people going to know that we're Christians? They're going to know it by us being something. Allowing the Word of God to abide in us, taking control of our life and living. Secondly, do something. People who love fellow believers will be known as disciples of Christ. John 13:34 says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this all will know you are My disciples, if you love one another." What? Johnny Bo, how are they going to know? If you don't love Michelle, then you don't love Neil, and you don't love the brothers in Christ that you do know, nobody's going to know you're a Christian. Kind of like a lady came here and visited church the other day. She's on the route where I work, and somebody said, "Oh yeah, oh, Robert, that's Robert over there. He's the preacher." "Oh, I know him. I didn't know you were a preacher." Well, I'm a Christian first. She knew I was a believer. And that's what God cares about. Be something. Do something. Love is action. We must have action behind our words. We must do something. And number 3, we must produce something. People who bear fruit will be known as the disciples of Christ. In other words, John 15:7 says, "If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be My disciples." So what things? You got to be something. You got to do something. You got to produce something. If you're not being, if you're not doing, if you're not producing, then how in the world is anybody going to know you're a Christian? And how is the world going to know there's love here? Now, do y'all need a picture of this? Okay, you got a 5-minute commercial coming up. Can you handle that? I want to just take a true story and show you how this thing works. Thank you.
Look at that. Bernie Wiseman passed away. What a shame.
Who was Bernie Wiseman?
Well, remember my dad, your grandpa, passed away when I was really young. Well, Bernie Wiseman was someone I knew around that time. I remember the day we met, it was rainy. It was my first day going back to school since my dad passed on. I was still missing him. And I just wanted to get back to school and friends and my normal life again.
Oh. Oh my goodness. Oh. Oh, thank you, young man.
You're welcome, sir.
The weatherman said it was going to be sunny today.
Oh, sure, it's slippery out here. Going this way?
Yes, sir.
Oh, here.
Thank you.
Oh. My name is Mr. Weissman.
I'm Jordan Burns.
Jordan Burns, very nice to meet you. Which school do you go to?
Fairfax Academy.
Mr. Lupkowitz for science?
Yes.
Let me tell you, when I was about your age, he and I were great friends. He was very, very funny back then. He told a joke about...
We talked the entire way. He was very nice. He told some very funny stories. And then next morning, he was there again. We talked about my school and his work and teachers and kids, sports, all kinds of things. His office was nearby, and every day he'd walk with me on his way to work. The next year I started taking the bus to school, and I stopped seeing Mr. Weissman. I'd see him once in a while after that, but not much. I haven't seen him since I went away to college.
Sounds like a cool guy.
Yeah, he was. I look forward to seeing him every morning.
Can we do something to help his family?
Yes. Let's pay them a visit. I'm sure they'd be happy to meet us.
Mrs. Wiseman, hi. I'm Jordan Burns. You don't know me, but I knew your husband many years ago.
I know who you are. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for asking. This is my son, Levi.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you, both of you. It's nice of you to visit. What a handsome boy.
Thank you.
Please, sit down, sit down.
So when did you and Mr. Weissman move to this neighborhood?
We've always lived here, Jordan.
But Mr. Weissman walked with me to school every morning on his way to work.
Now, we've lived in this house for more than 50 years. And Bernie's office has always been around the corner.
Every morning. He met me on my street. I don't understand.
Bernie heard about your father passing away. And he figured you might need a friend.
He drove all the way across town just to see me?
That's my Bernie.
Be something. Do something. Produce something. You can see how it's the simple things in life. Many times it's not the big stuff that's so meaningful to people. That's what God's telling us here. How He brings it all together. And so, when this begins to happen, then you begin to understand what it means when God said, "Build me a tabernacle and place it right in the middle of Israel." 3 tribes to the north, 3 to the south, 3 to the east, 3 to the west, so that God might dwell in the middle. And you see, when that begins to happen, God does something so spectacular. But He does this, and how did the tabernacle come about? And how is something big in your life going to happen? It's going to happen like this. First of all, there's going to be the birth of an idea. Such as in Exodus 35:1, and Moses gathered the congregation of Israel, in other words, be something, and said unto them, "These are the words of the Lord. He commanded that you should do them." He's telling them, do something. God gives an idea for His presence among the people. And that's what God wants us to experience. And in these 40 days of community, God is going to say, "I want to be among you. I want to be in the center of your home. I want to be in the center of your church. I want to be right there. I want to be where the passion is flowing." But what you're going to discover is only the willing hearts. Only the willing hearts want a joy in the service. So He gives us the birth of an idea, and then He gives us the source of the idea in 35:4-5, where He says, And Moses spake unto the congregation of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, and an offering to the Lord of gold and silver and brass." So this idea that God gave now is being shared. But did you know who it's going to be shared to? It's going to be shared to those who have a willing heart. Not everybody that's going to hear the message. Not everybody's going to conceive the idea. Not everybody's going to understand it. But those who have a willing heart will realize that this is coming from the Lord. And then share the idea. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded." In other words, you got to talk about it. It's got to be on your lips. It's got to be. We got to communicate. God wants to do something special in your small group. Talk about it. The source being God. The source is coming. Now, He give you the idea. Birth that idea. Share it with people. Talk about it. Share the idea. Because every place that there's a willing heart, there's going to be a little gas turned up against the fire. And it's going to start burning. And then people will capture the vision. In chapter 35, verse 4, it says that Moses spake unto the congregation of Israel, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded." So, this is it. What's it going to be, folks? What's it going to be in your small group? What's it going to be like when you join together with someone and you pray about something? Is it going to be a little boy that lost his father and just needed a friend? Maybe that's what God wants your group to do. To be a friend to somebody that lost somebody. To be there for you. What's it going to be? What's your going to group? What are you going to be? What are you going to do? What are you going to produce? How is the community going to see love flowing out of your group? Oh, it's so real. Capture the vision. Produce something. And then note this, that God is going to resource the idea. In 35:5-11, "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring an offering to the Lord." Whoever. You see, God resources it. When it's coming from Him, whatever's needed, folks, it's going to be there. Is it time? It's going to be there. Is it money? It's going to be there. Is it equipment? It's going to be there. Is it multitude of friends? It's going to be there. Whatever the resources are, God will lay it upon people with willing heart to supply that need. He'll do it. He'll resource it. And so we can see these principles. It's kind of like yesterday. My neighbor Bobby went with us. Right in the backyard, a couple of our young people worked hard back there. You should have seen the pizza they ate too. But I mean, they worked hard back there. But my neighbor Bobby showed us how to fell a tree. That word fell a tree always gets me. Cut a tree down. Anyhow, and he showed how to cut it where it would fall exactly where he wanted it to go. I learned something. God supplied the need to make that happen for us to learn something. You see, God's good at that. He brings it together. He's the resources that are needed, He brings these things together. So as we begin to do that, as He resources these ideas, people were willing to give. People were willing to work. People were giving of their life and what they had. And then this passionate idea comes across in chapter 35, verse 20, where it says, "And they came, everyone whose heart was stirred up, and everyone who had the Spirit willing, and they brought to the Lord offerings to work for the tabernacle, the congregation, for all of His services and for all of His holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as were of a willing heart." They came. And it says later on in this chapter, it says, "And the women of a willing heart whose hearts were stirred, they spun the string, the scarlet, making this beautiful cloth." You see, when the passion of God gets in you, and when you experience the love of Jesus Christ, things begin to change. And these men got stirred up, and these women got stirred up, and the children of Israel got stirred up because they wanted to do something. They wanted to be something. They wanted to produce something. It's kind of like what's going on right here. Do you know what? We got a group of ladies that are stirred up here. Now, when I start talking about a group of ladies getting stirred up, you say, "Oh boy, what's happening now?" They're stirred up over the food closet. Man, they're getting the word out. And people are experiencing. They're experiencing the blessings of God because some of the women in here are getting stirred up. And you know what some of these women are getting stirred up doing? They're stirring up the men. Because you know when the women get stirred up, men got to get stirred up because they want to stir them up to put shelving out there for these canned goods and stuff. Whoa! You mean that's what happens? Yeah. Passion. Love. Wanting to see it happen. Wanting to do something. Wanting to be something. Wanting to produce something. And then God gives the call, the endowment of God in chapter 35, verse 30. He says, "See, the Lord hath called Bezalel." God called a man and filled him with the Spirit and gifted him because this guy knew how to work with metal. And you know what? God put the special call on him. With his abilities, he gave them to God and brought them in. And you know what? That changed his life. He had to quit what he was doing so he could serve the Lord. Some of us, we need to quit what we're doing so we can serve Jesus Christ. Some of us need to break out of the habits in which we are so that we say the most important person in this world is Jesus Christ, and now I'm going to give myself to Him. All that He needs me, I'm going to be there. He does. He puts the calling because Bezalel did something else. In verse 34 it says, "And he put in his heart that he may teach, both he and Aholiab, to teach." They were men filled with wisdom, and they put it in their heart to teach others. You see, the work's not going to be completed by you. You've got to teach. God puts it in your heart and shows you how. He gives that. One man said, "Give a man a fish and you feed him a meal. Teach a man how to fish and you'll feed him for a lifetime." And then finally he said, this is what needs to happen. This is a time for action. Then in chapter 36, 1 through 7, "And Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord had put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary shall do according to all that the Lord has commanded. Then Moses and Bezalel and Aholiab and every artisan whose heart the Lord had put wisdom and everyone whose heart was stirred up to come and to do the work. And how much came in? The scripture says the people brought much more than it was enough for the service of the work of the Lord to be done. And so he said, let neither men nor women do any more work for the offerings of the sanctuary. What did he say right here? He said, folks, it's time now to go to work. More than enough resources are going to be supplied. It is there. It is ready. So God is telling us, it is time for us to move in, move on, move out. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm still mindful of Steve Culbert. He used to go here with us. Steve Culbert, when we put the trailers in the back where we worship, he took vacation time to build those steps about 8 years ago that you and I are still walking. He took his time. He took his energy. He took his resources. And now you and I today are still enjoying that, what he did. That's what God wanted for us to do. Making a life different. God is waiting for us. The amazing story of all history is Creator God living among His creation. God dwells where love dwells. Love is the greatest characteristic of the New Testament church. It is greater than hope and greater than faith. Love is lasting. A passionate love for Christ by loving God and loving our neighbors is so strong that if we do not have it, that He will leave the community. But the Holy Spirit will leave state line if it loses its first love, its passionate love. Love is an action. Word that places others above agendas. God demonstrated His love for Jesus Christ, His love by sending Jesus to be the Savior of the world. So the question right now is, how are people in the community seeing Jesus? Right here. How are they going to see Jesus? I, for one, want people to see Jesus. State Line Baptist Church. And in Viking Drive Community. And in New Hope. And in Caledonia. And in Alabama. In Pickensville. And in Columbus. I, for one, want people to see Jesus. And know this. As the tabernacle dwelt among the nation of Israel, Jesus is dwelling here at this church. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You today, we come with blessings in our heart and our mind for all that You're doing. Lord, we know that You love us so much. And Father, You gave the idea to Moses about the tabernacle. And You gave the idea about Jesus dwelling right here at State Line. So now, Lord, as You're raising up these small groups, as You're moving out into the community, let us be as individuals committing ourselves to be something, to do something, and to produce something, so that people might come to know You as their personal Lord and Savior. Help us to be on fire, God, with a passionate first love. And let that first love never, never, never depart from the life of each individual here, the life of this church, for the glory of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The passionate love for Jesus Christ begins in your heart. That's where it is. He gives you the idea that you want Him to be your Lord and Savior. And then He brings all the resources necessary for you to understand He is the way, He's the truth, He's the life. But then He calls you and He says, now it's time for you to do your part. Stand up. Stand up and put Me first in your life. If you'll put Jesus Christ first in your life this morning, He will give you eternal life. So I encourage you, if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus, please come and talk with me. And let's pray. We'll even pray right here together. so that you may know Jesus. Secondly, your walk with the Lord, fired up, fired up, fired up for Jesus Christ. Prayer altars are open. Other needs may need to be met this morning. What is God saying to you as an individual? Let's stand together as they lead us in a talk.